listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you happen to be around this beautiful planet, I'm glad you're here at The Kevin Smith Show. And those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here as well. And I extend to you, if you're a brand new first-time listener, a very special welcome and invitation also to subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. That's our free weekly newsletter. And you can do that by going to kevinsmithshow.com or if you're listening via our player on the internet, there's a button that says K-Files right there on the player. You can click it and subscribe, all right? I'm continuing to get emails from people who have not caught the announcements that we have made about our website. And based on what happened when the members area crashed and we had to reinstall it, based on the fact that I'm still getting emails once in a great while from members saying, you know, I haven't tried to get in the members area in a long time, and I tried, and it doesn't work anymore. And you know, it was weeks and weeks that I made those announcements on the show. So based on that, I guess this current situation will be over and done before some people get the message. So, but here it is again. Our hosting company has, that's the company, the internet host company that provides us our website space. We purchase our website space from on the internet, okay? They've changed some of the protocols for how you have to code certain functions. And so some of the pages that are on our site that were working, they still work, but they don't work on this host. All right. So we're having to go through and recode the ones that don't work. So I've done, yesterday I did 12 hours straight of it. 12 hours straight. Now, day before yesterday. We're getting to them as quickly as we can. If you find that there is a page that you tried to go to and it doesn't work, don't panic. Don't panic. Help is on the way. We are getting there, all right? So nothing crashed. It's just a change in some of the coding protocol. And so we're getting there. It's a big site. I mean, you know, there are literally hundreds of pages at my website. And so we're having to do them in by means of prioritizing and getting there, you know, in that way. So that will be done. Last night we talked about, it was an open line show, and I talked with you about the fact that it appears the agenda that was discussed, allegedly discussed, at an alleged meeting at the UN, it appears that agenda is underway. It is an agenda to get the public acclimated to the idea of extraterrestrials amongst us. Tonight, as part of that discussion last night, we talked about NASA's press conference and this object they say they discovered. Tonight, we're going to focus on that and at some point bring Dick Criswell on board to talk about it with us. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download.
Galaxy.
Last night on the show, I talked with you about, and we then talked together about, because it was an open line show, the announcement that NASA made, and actually there were two announcements at least, regarding this thing that they found in space. Now, the first announcement was to the press, telling the press that they were going to have a press conference, a teleconference, and they were going to announce the discovery of an object they had been searching for 50 years. And the suspense of it all, you know, you, in order to get in on this thing, you had there was a telephone number that NASA provided, and this was on their website. And the reporters then had to call that number and sort of get registered so that they could be in on this teleconference, so they could participate in the teleconference, you know. Not just show up and have a press conference and ask your questions, but get registered so you can participate in this teleconference. All right, so everybody was really, really kind of on pins and needles about this thing. Because, you know, NASA doesn't hold a press conference and announce everything they discover. I know you realize that. So this had to be something big. It had to be something important. People were really, really on the edge of their edges of their seats about this. And on Wednesday at noon Central Time, the teleconference kicked off. Well, guess what? They said, guess what, folks? What we have found is a supernova. All right, now, I have real problems with that, and I voiced them last night. I want to underscore that again, and then we're going to bring Dick Criswell on. He's standing by, and we're going to talk about this thing. Now, the reason I have real problems with this is a supernova is because how would you know that a supernova happened? How would you know that it's out there? How would you know to start looking for it at all? The only way you know that there is a supernova is that you observe it. You see it with a telescope. And then you can say, aha, I'm looking at a supernova that I've just discovered. But there is no possibility, as far as I can see, that you would know a supernova is out there, so let's go look for it, a specific supernova. So let's go look for it, and we'll look for it for 50 years. That just doesn't make sense to me. Now, tonight, we're going to give, maybe you are an astronomer and you can explain that. Maybe you have a valid explanation for how NASA could be looking for a supernova, a specific supernova, because the way they worded it in their releases to the press leading up to this, the way they worded it was they were going to announce the discovery of an object they had been looking for 50 years. Not an event, an object. We have been looking for a specific object for 50 years, and we found it. That's the message. But then when the press conference takes place, they say, it's a supernova. Do you understand? I think you do. You understand why that doesn't wash? How would you know where to look? How would you know there was even a supernova? How would you know so that you could be looking for 50 years? You would not know unless you had already observed it. And if you have, you're looking at it. You're not looking for it. You know where it is. So if indeed this is an object that they have been looking for 50 years, it is not a supernova. Does that make sense? Now, maybe you think I'm wrong. I'm not going to open the telephone lines just yet, so just hang on. I know you're anxious to get in on this, but just hang on, and we will open the telephone lines in a little bit. We're going to talk with Dick Criswell first. But do you get the gist of what I'm saying? Do you understand where I'm coming from? And maybe you think I'm all wet on this, and in fact there is a way to know that there is a supernova out there. Let's go look for it. Look, I know there are quite a few supernovas out there. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm talking about knowing a specific location, a specific area of the sky to be looking in because you know there is a supernova. How do you know that? The only way you know it is if you've already observed it. And as I said, if you've already observed it, you're not looking for it, you're looking at it. Therefore, if you have been looking for this for 50 years and you have just discovered it, it's no supernova. Dick Criswell, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. It's always a pleasure to be back with you.
Dick, am I all wet on this thing? Am I making sense with this?
You're absolutely making sense, Kevin. See the thing of it is, it's kind of like finding a needle in a haystack. Unless you're actually directed to it, or you actually the odds on finding it would be so astronomical, it's not funny. I think the side of this story that's kind of that really needs to be brought to light. Who told them? Okay. Could that have been extraterrestrial? Could they have been tipped off by some alien group? That's where I think it lies. I don't think that they'd find this on their own unless it was really bright, and I mean really bright.
Well, it's not really bright. It's so dark and so far away that it takes the Chandra X-ray telescope to see it. It cannot be seen with an optical telescope yet. And so the idea that, you know, this thing was supposed to have, according to them, gone supernova back in 1860. All right, if it went supernova in 1860, there should have been some observers on the ground if it were close enough to have been seen with the naked eye. And there are no accounts of that. If it were that close then, why is it so far away now that it can't be seen with telescopes, optical telescopes? You see, there's just too many discrepancies in the story here. If it were so close that it could have been seen when it first exploded, why can it not be seen now? And, that makes no sense. Plus, they say it appears to be expanding, and it's doing things we've never seen before. Well, one of our callers last night, Dick, as you well know because you listened to the show, I believe it was Doug in Canada, said, if it's getting closer to us, if it's approaching us, it could have the appearance of expanding, getting larger. Well, that would be true. That would be the Doppler effect.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would really like to know what the odds are on finding this thing by yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be astronomical. And even the 50 years they said that they've been observing this, it may take 50 years to find the damn thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. They haven't been observing it for 50 years. They couldn't. Until Chandra X-ray telescope, they had no means to observe it. And they've been looking for it, is what they said, for 50 years. Now, let's talk about that needle in the haystack. You wouldn't even look for a needle in any haystack unless somebody told you there was one in there and it was really worth finding.
That's right. Somebody would have to tip you off.
The only other way is if you heard legends, we'll say this is a golden needle and it's worth billions of dollars, all right? And there are legends, ancient legends, of people in that area who have seen this golden needle. And the last known place where it was hidden in a haystack in order to protect it. Well, you might turn over every haystack in the neighborhood looking for it, all right? But the point is you have prior knowledge that there is a golden needle. All right, now, the whole story about we've been looking for it for 50 years, and it is a supernova. How would you know to look for, as you said, how would you know to look for this supernova, and what neighborhood would you know to look in?
That's a big, vast sky out there. The odds on finding it on yourself is, and you can talk to astronomers. I have, and they said, the only way that you can ever come across something is, if it moves or it has different light, light properties and so forth. I've looked at the night sky myself with a telescope, and I'm telling you, there's so much up there, and no brighter than this thing was. I think the odds would just be astronomical to find it.
Well, they'd be way beyond astronomical because, again, it cannot be seen with an optical telescope right now. So there's no human eye that's seen this.
Right, right, right.
Okay. What we're looking at, if you look at my website, and folks, if you haven't done it, I want you to go to my website right now and look at the photographs. Now, there are two. There's two different pictures. One, the first picture is an artist's conception of what Nibiru, or Planet X, would look like. Now, this is also referred to as the Destroyer in other ancient texts, as Marshall Masters pointed out. But there's an artist's conception. It's described as being winged, as having flaming wings. All right? Now, you look at that. It's an artist's conception. And look at the next photograph. That's not an artist's conception. That's the photograph produced by the Chandra X-ray telescope. That's it. What do you think, Dick? Have you looked at them?
Yes, I have.
They look kind of similar to you?
Yes, they do. I would say my personal opinion is that is exactly what Zachariah Sitchin was talking about.
I don't know for sure that it is, but I have to tell you that when I saw that photograph, and Doug from Canada sent me the link to see the photograph, when I saw it, I was taken aback. I really was. I mean, I thought I would see maybe a big ring of fire or something. This is a big ball of blue energy that is engulfed in flames. And the flames are coming out around the side of it like wings. And there's a very, very interesting feature to that NASA photograph. Five interesting features. On this show, and folks, when we open the phone lines later, you may be able to help me with this, all right? On this show, we have had a guest who said that, in fact, Nibiru is not that winged, flaming winged object, but is a planet that is in orbit around that, and that there are five planets. It's one of five planets that are in orbit around it. Now, on this show, we had a guest that said that. I remember hearing it. I don't remember which guest said it. Now, some of you may remember that. Some of you may, in fact, be familiar with this story about five planets, and I've always been interested in how anybody knew there were five. In just a moment, I'll tell you what happened insofar as I know it at this point. Welcome back. What a interesting and a little bit exciting night, huh? I tell you what, Dick Criswell is with us, I think. Dick, are you still with me?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
All right. What happened, Dick, and for those who are able to hear the show, we were taken offline, taken off the air. Don't know if it was on purpose or if it was just one of those very well-timed fortuitous circumstances that took us off the air. Now, what happened was all of a sudden the grid out here around where the studio is went dead. And we're hearing all kinds of background noise where you are, Dick. Is that on your phone, or is that do we have visitors?
No, I don't hear any clicking now. I shut down. I had a big fan in this room. I shut it down. Is that better?
Yeah, that's what we were hearing.
Okay.
Okay. So what happened was I had just said, in talking about that photograph on my website, I had just said something about, you know, that there, it appears there are five planets in that photograph that are around this object. And all of a sudden, there was a big pop. All the electricity in this area went off, and we were effectively out of business there. We were offline. What did you hear?
I heard a big, loud crack on your end. I mean, it just it was a crackling sound, like almost like a thunder, and then it went dead, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what's going on here?
Kevin has been struck by lightning.
I guess.
Yeah. No, that's what the deal was. One of the neighbors, everyone went outside to see, is it just my house or is it everybody, you know? And so one of the neighbors had, he called the power company, and they said, yeah, we had a main feed that went bad.
Wow.
So
I knew something. I knew something on. I thought it was on my end, you know, because the other night we were talking and it went dead on my end.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. That's the deal. And you know, maybe it's a coincidence, and well, maybe not. But anyway, we are back, and I hope that some of our audience is back with us. I know. I told. You know, Al, our producer, I said, man, I bet the chat rooms are lit up now.
Our chat rooms, we told everybody what was going on in IPAS Talk. And I guess there's a couple that's still having trouble hearing you. They're kind of in and out.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe they should go to one of the alternate sites. I don't know really how many people can hear us at the moment, but I do know people in 95 countries heard us go dead and heard us go quiet. And it, I will say this, if that was done purposely in response to this show, I want to thank the idiots that did it, because you just underscored that we're on the right track.
I love it.
Now, in the event that that was that it was purely coincidental and that there was no nefarious stuff going on, then I have to take it back what I said about idiots. But I mean, the only thing is, if you did it on purpose, if you did it, you're an idiot. You just highlighted for the world that we're on the right track. Thank you so much. I appreciate that confirmation. Now, Dick, we'll just have to do this on live radio because I didn't have a chance, once we reestablished connection with you, to talk with you about it. Are you able to go a little bit overtime tonight?
Oh, as long as you want to go, I'm up for it.
Well, I want us to get all in that we were going to get in, and in order to do that, we'll have to go overtime, and so. We'll try to do that. Now, folks, if you're out there listening right now, you can hear us. And let me tell you, I'm okay. I was not attacked. Everything is cool as far as I know. I went out and looked for, you know, black SUVs, and I didn't see any. No black helicopters flew over or anything like that. But the power in this area went dead. And then after it came back up, it takes a few minutes to get all of the system back up that I use for broadcasting. So anyway, we're back, and as far as I know, we're okay.
Kevin,
yeah.
I am getting confirmation now that you're sounding a lot better than you were when we first come up. So we're on in Ohio, we're on in Indiana. I'm getting confirmation that much so far.
Outstanding. That's good. That's good. Okay, so the system is restoring itself, and things are getting better, and that's the direction we want to go. All right, now let's go back to this photograph that we were talking about and see if we can do it and stay on the air.
Okay. Okay.
I do want to make clear, I'm not saying that that is Nibiru out there. I'm not saying that it is Planet X. I'm saying look at the photograph and then look at that artist conception that was drawn based on the Sumerian and other ancient witnesses that wrote about it, and ask yourself, do they look similar? I think they do. And I think you said that you concurred that you think they look similar.
Absolutely. I really believe they do.
All right. Now, the whole scenario, as I laid it out at the beginning of the show, that they've been looking for this supernova for 50 years, that, to me, doesn't wash. Now, maybe an astronomer can call in and explain, how do you know there's a supernova and you know to go look for it? How do you even know there is one unless you see it? And if you see it, then you don't have to go look for it. You're looking at it. So maybe an astronomer could explain that to me. But I think that the story that NASA gave is, I don't think it squares with reality.
Well, I can even go a little further than that. I think last night I was telling you that I'd heard from an aide from Danny Quayle's administration, and he told me that that was a very weak explanation because he says they know better.
Well, but so far, and I want to get this nailed down, so far nobody has said to you, this is Nibiru, this is Planet X, have they?
No, they have not at this point. I am prepared to ask a couple, I'm going to call in a couple favors to see if I can get anything nailed down on it, because I think this is important enough that we need to get confirmation on it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I don't think it squares with the story we got. That I think I'm pretty safe in saying that. It doesn't seem to square with the story that we got. So whatever it is, it's something other than what we were told.
Right. And I think I mentioned before on another program that we had done together that I come across some documents there when I was with AlphaCom about a planet out there. I didn't want to go into detail too much because some of that stuff is still classified, but I can tell you that it's been out in the open in a couple different places that there is a planet, and they called it a rogue planet.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I still have a couple of adjustments I've got to make here. And so what we're going to do is take a break. And when we come back from this break, we will continue. And we will be going a little bit overtime tonight because I want to get all this in. And we're going to open the phone lines for the audience to call. So let's step out and take a break for just a moment. And we will return, folks, right after this.
She didn't care when she told this perfect stranger.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
We made it through an abbreviated break. We're back, and Dick, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, we got a caller on the line, and I believe this is Ryan in Washington. Ryan, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I can hear you on my end. You're back on the air, as far as from what I can hear. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you and Dick. How are you?
Very good, Ryan.
I'd like to thank both of you guys for everything you're doing. You guys are both, you're true, doing a real great, you're doing a great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I appreciate that as well.
And it's too bad that if somebody wants to keep you from talking about this, that they don't realize that they're proving our points. But anyways, as far as this Planet X and the photo goes, you know, I think that there's a clue in what NASA said when they said it was that they've been looking for this for 50 years. First of all, it's kind of irritating because all the tax dollars we've spent on NASA for the past 50 years has been looking to find this one object, and there's a clue, I think, in what they said about that, because, like you said, the way I analyze it is, it's like walking on a beach and finding a quarter underneath the sand and saying, I knew this quarter was here 50 years ago, and I'm looking for it, you know. It just doesn't wash, and I agree with Kevin. But my question was for Dick, what are we going to do about... you know, I think there is small pieces coming out as far as a small disclosure happening. I think there's a reason why the Vatican announced this, what they said on the same day, almost on the same day as this the NASA press conference. It was kind of a sham press conference, if you ask me. I mean, the mainstream media and the news and stuff like that are still talking about, you know, American Idol and bogus things like that, you know. I just wish that it would get on the main TV, because I've been clicking around on the TV and they haven't talked a single bit about this, you know. What do you say about that, Dick?
You know, there are some people that handle this thing with, like, kid gloves, and I think some of the people that are behind some of the media just don't get it. They tell the people what they want to hear and what they think you should hear. It's all controlled. I know that for a fact, because there's a local affiliate here. I said, why aren't we hearing any more news about UFOs? I said, I hear them every day. You know, I hear reports from all over, not just my country, but all over. And they said, well, you got to realize, you know, we've got a producer to answer to, and if he tells us it's a no-go, it's a no-go.
Yeah, so it is controlled. Does that answer it, Ryan?
Yeah, but I want one more comment, and then I'll let the other callers get in. You know something that Richard Hoagland is doing a special on Sunday on Sci-Fi, and apparently the producer of that show was so interested in Richard Hoagland because Hoagland showed him the photo of the thing on Mars, the what he calls the robot head, the producers told them that, would you be interested in doing a special or a series, a continuing series? So if everybody can listen, watch that show, get enough ratings on that show, then Hoagland would be offered a continuing show on which needs to happen, you know. But thanks both you guys for doing what you're doing, and I appreciate it. I'll let the next caller get in. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for the call, Ryan.
I did hear Hoagland talk the other night on another program, and he said that he was getting ready to lambast NASA and ask the question, why do we still need them?
Well, that's a valid question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Fine.
Just wanted to make sure it was me. This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Tony.
Hello, Dick.
Hi, Tony.
How are you?
How are you fine tonight?
Actually, what an interesting night. I was getting so PO'd, I thought there was something wrong with my computer. I'm saying, Dick's on tonight, and what am I missing? Just a quick question, Dick. When you're on, it's always fantastic, and tonight is such a letdown because the time allotted.
We're going over time.
Yeah, but the time left is not going to probably be able to cover what you would have covered.
Oh, yeah, we're going to cover what I was planning to cover.
Oh, good.
I'm hard. It's very difficult to shut me up.
I'm glad to hear that because, like I said, when Dick is on, it's always, always worth listening to, and I'm glad to hear that everything is going to be covered as if it was no problem tonight.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
No, thanks
thank
a lot.
You.
All right. Dick, you've looked at the photograph.
Yes, I have.
You have seen, as you mentioned, a document previous that talked about another planet.
That is correct.
From what you saw in that document and what you see in this photograph, do you think they are one and the same?
I tend to lean that way, but, you know, I did not see a photograph of what I seen in the documents, okay? It was just talking about it, okay? But I did not see any photograph to confirm that. But I'm leaning to that because, you know how you get a gut feeling about things? I just feel like, that's probably what it is.
All right. We're going to take a break. And we're going to be back on schedule here. The only difference is going to be that we're not going to go off air at 9 p.m. So, affiliates, if you have to leave us, we understand that. But those who are listening via my player on my site, guess what? We're going on. We're going to cover everything we had planned to cover. All right? All right, folks, we will be back on the other side of this break, and we'll take your telephone calls at that time. We are also going to continue talking about this photograph from NASA. I didn't make it up. They did. They are the one. They didn't make it up, but they are the ones who produced it, and they put it out there. They published it, so let's talk about it, all right? We'll be back right after this.
Seems to be a long ways away. High tide is coming with the someone else, cause I'll be getting that skrilla like the dawn himself. Oh, baby girl, if you leave me, you'll see me someday on the TV.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and let me say to those of you who are in various chat rooms, spread the word, I'm alive, I'm okay. There was no attack upon me. We had a very mysterious power outage in this neighborhood. It happened right at a very interesting time. Right after Dick Criswell and I both said, yes, I can see, we can see those five, looks like five planets around it. Bam, we were off the air. We're back, and we're going to go a little bit over time here because I want us to be able to get it all in. We're not going to allow that to keep the information and discussion from happening. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I just had one more question. This is Ryan again. I'll make it really quick.
All right, Ryan.
I was just wondering, how can we get an astronomer, like a really good astronomer, to take a look at this and just tell us if they think it's a supernova and exactly what's going on? Because, you know, that's all I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, and if they say it is a supernova, I want them to tell us how would one know to be looking for a supernova, a particular supernova, for 50 years if it had not been sighted already.
And, Kevin, I think you should get Paul Allen on your show because he's going to be putting up a new antenna array that's going to be really helpful to increase the SETI program. That's all I had for now.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I might do that. You know, I'll tell you what, though, Dick. I don't have a lot of, and I'm not critical of SETI, but I don't have a lot of confidence they're ever going to find anything because radio, they're looking for any type of radio transmissions, and they're checking all these millions of frequencies. Radio just doesn't travel fast enough to be useful for interplanetary and interstellar travel. You know, when they send instructions to the rovers on Mars, it takes 28 minutes for those instructions to arrive on Mars.
You was talking about SETI. I don't believe much of what a gentleman by the name of Chef Seth Shostak, I believe is his name.
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody that took him to task here a while back because they said they had heard something and it was forthcoming. And I can't remember whether that was Stephen Greer or whether it was somebody else. But
Yes, it was Stephen Greer.
Okay, and then he come out with some kind of a lame excuse like, oh, you know, we wouldn't do that. You know, we'd be able to tell you guys. And to the caller, I think we might be able to hook somebody up astronomer-wise because I'm sure my friend Dick Hoagland could probably send us somebody that could answer some of our questions, and I will put that to a question to him.
All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're alive on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. John in North Carolina. Hi, Dick.
Dick, I don't know if you can hear him.
I can't hardly hear him. You might have to relay.
Okay, well, I'll speak up a little.
All right.
Kevin, about your site, you know, I have a pinging program, right, that gives me the geolocation of the site that I'm visiting.
Yeah.
And strange, yours usually pings out to Scottsdale, Arizona. Tonight you're pinging out to Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, well, then we've been rerouted.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's enough of that. About the photo of this radio image that NASA's put on your that you have. I guess you downloaded this from Chandra, right?
I got it off of NASA's website.
Right. I'm not a radio astronomer, nor do I know much about radar images. But you know, just as a layman, that doesn't look to me to be a radar image.
It's not. Part of it is X-ray. The blue ball that you see is produced by they used actually two different satellites, I think, to do this. One is X-ray and one is infrared or something, but it's a composite of the two. And that's why I say this thing cannot be seen with an optical telescope at this point. And so they've been looking for it for 50 years. They finally find it. They train two high-tech instruments on it and produce a photograph.
I don't know if Dick is experienced in this type, these type photographs or not. But just as a layman looking at it, it looks like a round object with flaming blazes around it, you know?
Yeah, and see, that's the way the ancient Sumerians talked about it. They said that it looks like it's got flaming wings.
Right. Well, that's about all I had to add there. Maybe you could get an expert in radio astronomy or X-rays and see if they could give us some insight on this.
I think that's a good idea.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. If there are astronomers listening, and I'm amazed that we have any audience at all right now after what happened, I would think that everyone would have just kind of gone away, but we do have audience, and not too bad, not too shabby, as a matter of fact, but it's about half what it was when the lights went out.
Evidently not, because I'm getting slammed by email about, you know, are you back on the air yet? And I'm telling them yes, so they're coming back. So evidently we are being, you know, on the air there in some cases, because I think right now I've got about 100 emails.
Uh-huh.
So they're wondering if we're back on. So I just typed up, yeah, we're back on. We're going overtime.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And and let me say, for those who are on listening on affiliate stations, if the affiliates have to leave, that's fine. We understand that. They have their schedules they have to keep. But we are going to go overtime in order to cover what we wanted to cover. And I'll go ahead and take telephone calls, because we are into the second hour. It's not actually the second hour of full hour of broadcasting, but by the clock, we're into the second hour. So 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. It's toll-free, and if you've got comments or questions. I wanted to put that photograph up, Dick, because that isn't someone's conception of what it looks like. That's what was produced by NASA. That's what they say it looks like. And the thing is, it looks like that artist conception that's in the top photograph. You know, the very first photograph on my website is an artist conception.
Yes, I was aware of that. And you know, what's really interesting is I can't remember what book it was that I read Zachariah Sitchin talking about that planet, but that's exactly how he explains it in the book.
Now, a couple of those, well, I guess two or three of them, actually, of those planet-looking things in the NASA photograph appear to be way too close to those flames for that to be an inhabited world. But there's a couple of them that actually, you know, there's one in the top left and one in the far top right and one in the about the 5 o'clock position. They're far enough away and actually form a triangle. And they're far enough away that, you know, you could say, well, maybe, maybe that could be inhabited. One of the things that's interesting about this, too, Dick, is they're all red. And all of the stuff that Zechariah Sitchin has told us about the Sumerian writings about this, they say that it's a red planet. And
yeah, absolutely.
And these are, they're at least in these pictures, they're red. All right, now I know, folks, you're hearing some background stuff there. Don't worry about that. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. That's just our automated software taking over, but I killed it. All right, so for those of you who are still with us, Dick, do you buy Zechariah Sitchin's detailing of the of this Nibiru and that it's supposed to be coming in and every 3,600 years and that it's we're due for its arrival? Do you buy all of that?
I have, you know, I've not seen any official documents to that. But I do believe Zechariah Sitchin, and I did not believe Dan Burrish the other night when he said that he thought Zechariah was wrong. I do believe that Zechariah is right. You know, he does read ancient Sumerian, and he does all the chart work and so forth. And there's an awful lot of people out there that do believe in his work, and I do. And I have talked to him personally, and I follow what he does. You know, he's quite up there in age now, and he's I think he's one of our best scholars.
I just can't get over when I look at this photograph how much this looks like the descriptions that I've read, you know, where the Sumerians and the Egyptians write about what it looks like. Now, if you look at the photograph, obviously, whatever this is, we're looking at the side of it that is facing toward us, obviously. We don't have any satellites far enough out there to get around on the backside of this thing. If you look at the photograph, you see these flames coming up on both sides, but look right at the front of it. The front of it, facing us, you can see where those flames dissipate and thin out.
Yeah, I see that.
That seems to me to indicate forward movement toward the camera.
Yeah, I believe that would indicate that the way it looks, yeah.
So instead of, and one of the things that they're saying about it is that, first of all, it's expanding, and secondly, they're saying that it's expanding at a very, very high rate of speed, and it's doing things that they've never seen before. Okay, now, I want to go back to what Doug said when he called in last night. Doug said if it were coming toward us, it would have the appearance of expanding.
Yes, I recall him saying that, yes.
And this photograph looks like it's coming toward us.
Sure does. Sure does.
Now, I want to be very clear and very careful. I don't want to say or do anything that causes anybody to panic. I don't know that that's Planet X. I don't know that that is, that one of those planets around it is Nibiru. I don't even know that those are planets around it. There are five dots of light, red light, and, you know, I don't know what those are. I don't know if they're planets. I don't know if they're another star further out. I don't know. I'm just saying that when you look at this photograph and you listen or read Zachariah Sitchin, listen to what he says or read what he says about what the Sumerians wrote about Nibiru. And it, when you listen to people like Marshall Masters talk about what the Egyptians wrote about the destroyer, this looks like what they wrote.
I believe, like I said, I just about got all his books. And that's exactly what I would have pictured it like, you know. I don't think he had any illustrations in these books that I read.
No, just descriptions.
Yeah.
I've read his books as well, but the descriptions, this is what I saw in my mind as I read those descriptions. Now, Dick, let me ask you this. What do you think would be the purpose for NASA saying, we're going to tell you about an object that we found out in space that we've been looking for 50 years, and then they come in and tell us we found a supernova? I mean, do you think that, am I missing something? I mean, how can you look for a supernova? You know it's there only because you see it.
I believe that now this is purely conjecture on my part, because I had my own theories about why this was done, and then I talked to some others, and I really think they ramped this thing up to tell the story of this object. And we're told just prior to going on air with it that can't do that. We gotta do something else. I think they killed the story.
So it's the same object they were going to talk about. They just said something different about it.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want people to misunderstand. I don't want anybody to go screaming into the nighttime saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Because I don't think it is. But, you know, I do think when you read what they put out to the press about this upcoming press teleconference they were going to do, it doesn't match what they did. Doesn't match what they said.
And if you listen to the callers, it's almost like they, when I listen to this, because I played this back today, okay, and when I listened to it, it sounded like the callers were rehearsed. I really hope I'm wrong, but it sounded like that.
Well, they very well could be. I'm running now my program that shows me how many calls we have gotten, and so far we have received tonight 198 phone calls. People were very concerned when we went dark. The phone line is open. If you folks, I want to know what you think. I want to know what you think about that photograph. Do you think that photograph from NASA looks like that photograph, or not a photograph, but that artist's conception? And do you think that NASA is shooting straight with us about this? I'm really interested in knowing that. If you've got an opinion, I want to hear it. I really do. I think it's important. I think it's important enough that somebody didn't want us. They didn't want all of us to share our opinions with each other. Now, I could be wrong about that. This could be totally a coincidence, this power outage. But, man, what timing. What timing. Well-timed, if you wanted to stop the discussion. And let's don't let it stop the discussion. I'm determined that we shall discover what we can about this photograph, and that we shall discuss what we can about this photograph. And I'd like to know what you think. I'd like to know if you think that this photograph matches what they said about a supernova. And do you think that this is, in fact, Planet X or Nibiru? Now, when you look at the photograph, by the way, the telephone line is open. And, you know, Dick, if we don't get any calls here in a little bit, we'll wrap it up. But I think people deserve the opportunity to express their views, express their opinion about this. You're looking at a photograph that NASA produced, and then they told us a story about it. When you look at this photograph, it's kind of weird. You've got this sort of blue globe that looks black and hollow in the center.
You know something, Kevin? I was also told by somebody today, and I didn't even think about this until I looked at it. They said it looks like almost a black hole in the center.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe it's a black hole just beginning to form or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's weird. It's like a ring of blue energy, and around it, wings of fire. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yeah, Brent.
You're back on the air again, I guess.
Yep.
My opinions. Well, I'll say that if Zacharias Sitchin's translations are accurate, and that's an artist's conception, did a very good job. I honestly don't. I think they might. In my opinion, it's a better than 75% chance they are one and the same.
Better than 75% chance that it's one and the same.
That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a layman's opinion, though.
Well, that's okay. You know, you've heard me say, when people criticize and say about someone, they'll say, well, he's not a trained observer. Yeah, that might be true, but he's had eyes all of his life.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I agree with Dick. I think they were ready to go with it, and just before the they went on, they said don't. And I honestly think their callers were in-house. I haven't heard it, but if they were as scripted as Dick says they were, they were probably in-house. They didn't take any calls from outside.
That's disturbing.
Yeah.
Very disturbing. All right, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep, bye.
All right. 1-800-289-1092. Well, now, folks, what do you think about this as possibly a black hole? Dick, you know, if this was a black hole, I would think that dark area would be more symmetrically circular.
I thought about that too, and I was just looking at it, you know. I said, well, what makes you think, this was more than one guy that told me this, what makes you think that it might be a black hole? He said, well, it just kind of looks like it might be one, but it's not symmetric, you know, like we're talking here. Now, I don't know that all black holes are completely round.
Yeah, I don't know. There may be some square ones.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I mean, really, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know one way or the other. I'm not into that field. And I may make one other comment. You know, there was now this has to do with, and I think you've seen this film before, Do you recall the film UFOs It Has Begun, or did I give you give you that one?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, you know, at the end of that movie, where they were talking about the aliens, you know, might have landed at Holloman.
Yeah.
The government had told them that at the end they would provide the film footage for the end. And somebody killed that program, so that's why they had to come in there and do the artwork.
Well, you know, it, of course, that proves, and we've heard about this before, but that proves that when we say the government, it's not a monolithic one-unit kind of thing. I mean, there are millions of people that are the government, really. I mean, it's the largest employer in the United States. And so you can have factions inside that we want to get this out, and others that say it's not going, we're not going to go with that, it's not going out. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes you're the bug and sometimes you're the windshield.
That's true. I never thought about it that way, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, let me give the phone number again, and we'll wrap this up in the next few minutes here if we don't hear from some folks. But 1-800-289-1092 is the toll-free number. It is open. And, you know, we'd be glad to take your calls, all right? This is going to make for an interesting next 24 hours, as people who gave up when we went off the air, they're, I'm quite certain it's normal. You listen to silence for a while, and then you say, well, I guess he's not coming back, and you give up. But within the next 24 hours, as people click on that latest show and listen to what happened, it's going to be pretty interesting, and there are going to be a lot of folks looking into what happened, and there'll be a lot of folks now focused on this photograph. So I say again that anyone, if there is anyone out there who actually did this to us tonight, thank you. I appreciate it. Not smart on your part, but thank you. I appreciate it. It was great for us. It draws attention to the fact that we're right on target. All right, Dick, let's go back to the telephone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin, this is Don.
Hi, Don. Did the electricity go off at your place?
Hey, I don't know, man. I just got up about 10 minutes before 9 and just got into your show then. I've been taking that medication for my ankle. It's been making me sleep a lot.
Yeah. Well, you missed some excitement.
I don't think so, because all my digital clocks are the same.
Okay. Yeah, if they're not blinking that it's 12 noon, then, yeah, you didn't lose power. But I'll tell you, right here at the source of information, it went dead.
You have to check the area after the show and see if the power went out. Ask anybody here.
Oh, yeah, it went out all over this area here.
Oh, it did. It went out the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
What do you think about the photographs?
Oh,
it was. The electricity was actually out for about 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
And then it took a few more minutes for me to get everything booted back up and get us back up online and broadcasting again. So I guess we started broadcasting at about 18 or 20 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Were you still connected to Dick? I mean, did you have the phone line?
Oh, the phone line, no, it all went dead here.
That one did, huh?
Yeah. What do you think of the photographs?
Okay, the photograph. I don't know. You know, if the artist rendering came out before the NASA photograph and somebody was trying to, picture what it looked like, I think they gave it a fair shot. But I also think, you know, if NASA or the people to be does not want information released, like Dick has said, about UFOs due to social unrest. I don't think they sure in the hell wouldn't even begin to release information about Planet X that could actually cause our doomsday.
Yeah, no, see, yeah. They didn't. They didn't say it's Planet X.
No, they didn't, but you implied that they might have started out wanting to say that. Then at the last minute, they changed their mind.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, there could be factions inside of NASA. One faction saying, hey, let's tell the people about this, and another faction saying, no way. Dick Hoagland has talked about that before. I think he calls them the roosters and the owls?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, anyways, it's a very interesting photograph. I'm looking at his site.
Yeah.
It does look like a planet on fire.
Yeah, well, it looks like something on fire, but you see those five red dots around it?
Well, I see two dots. I do now. I'm looking closer. I'm looking at the bigger picture. I just scrolled down. I realized you had a bigger one now.
Yeah.
In the center of it, there's black dots, and kind of towards the center of it, too. It's like, you know, there's...
Well, I think that's just that's just some flame across the front.
Well, it could be, too, but it almost looks like you say, that blue energy field.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. There's nothing in the center there. Like it's exploding outwards.
Yeah, it could be. See those red dots, the red matter that you see that's up in the center of the blue area. If you look, you'll see that is flame because it you see the flames on the right side cross over the blue?
Right.
And you see the same thing but fainter on the left. So that's flame. But you've got these red dots out here away from it, and three of them are far away from it, and two of them are up closer. So, you know, it looks like other planets around it.
Yeah, I know, and I don't recall ever seeing another planet show up red like that, unless it was just the technology they were using to do the photograph, and that any other stars would have showed up red too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they are still awfully close to this object.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Don, look, I appreciate the call, man.
Okay, Kevin, take care.
All right, thanks.
Kevin, I've got something that probably needs to be said.
All right.
I ran this by this FEMA COG agent that I'm in touch with, and I said, you know, if there was a planet out there that was coming in on us and would cause major disruption or maybe it was inhabited or anything, do you think that we'd ever get a straight answer? And he said, no, they'd just let it happen.
Okay. That's my estimation because of the fact that there's nothing that anybody can do about it if this thing or something else is coming, and if it's going to cause major disruption and death and problems on this planet, there's nothing we can do about it. So why put us all in an upheaval prior to it?
Well, I personally, when all this come up, I thought, you know, maybe, and I was hoping beyond hope that they were going to come clean. But you know, I've not seen anything that is really excites me about NASA. And you know, it's kind of like Dick said, they're not a civilian space agency; they're part of the Alphabet Soup Group.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Robert calling from New York.
Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Kevin? How you doing, Dick?
Outstanding.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I'm listening to the show, and that's a remarkable photo that NASA released yesterday.
It is.
Yeah, well, I picked it up on your website, and as I scrutinized it, I said to myself, you know, something's kind of wrong with this picture. If it's the colors don't look quite right to me. So I started working on it. When you mentioned the thing about the possibility of five planets around the object,
yeah.
But I could only see three. So I started enhancing the photo by changing gamma and brightness levels. And to my utter surprise, more and more of those objects, star-like looking objects or planet-looking objects, started to emerge. But the most stunning thing to me is that when I raised the gamma level and increased the contrast, what appeared is a black hole in the center of that object.
Right.
And it says in the NASA press release that one of the two byproducts of a large supernova are either a neutron star or a black hole. So I think that what this is actually the first photograph ever taken of a black hole.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite stunning. Now, the other thing was, if those objects, the red objects in the background, are not planets, you shouldn't be able to see planets because this thing is supposedly in the center, close to the center of the Milky Way. And I said to myself, you know, this just doesn't look like an ordinary astronomical object. And if there are stars in the surrounding areas, they really should be, as we see in most of the NASA deep space photos, they should be bright white, blue white, and then, you know, coming down through the yellow, but these objects are red. And I said to myself, you know, there's something kind of off about this picture. That fire looks too red, that orb looks too blue, and those stars look too red in the background. So I did a switch red for white, red for blue function.
Yeah.
My browser, or my photo, not Photoshop, it's a more fundamental thing called web image that I use, and I've used for years. So I changed it, and then the background object started to look like the right color of, you know, bright white, blue-white stars. And the central object changes color too, but what we took to be fire looks like, it looks like water then, you know? And if you think about the expansion of an explosion of gases, a lot of which would be hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, if the colors are reversed, that could be water and not fire.
Cool.
Yeah, man, we've got a lot of work to do on this, but the enhancement. And I'm going to give it to you, Kevin, you know? You really deserve it. I'm going to give you this picture.
Okay.
On your website and show to our fellow fans, because if you hadn't done this show and I hadn't popped in and seen your posting of the Chandra picture, you know, I might have just gone to something else. But you kind of tugged me in, you know, into your orbit tonight.
Well, that's
I'm very
good.
I'm very surprised by what I found here. So I'm going to send that on to you tomorrow. And perhaps we can be on the show, do a show together about this and other subjects. By the way, that press conference was pretty funny. Dick said that he thought some of those questions were staged. I thought so, too. And I thought that maybe even those the goofy calls were part of the staging process. But one of them asked him, do you remember this question? Do you think this thing is going to come and sweep away the moon crickets off the Earth? Remember that question? Did you hear that?
Yes, I do.
That was really a strange double entendre. But then there were other hokey ones, but that was kind of a strange, very strange press conference. Thank you for sending me the link. I won't keep you guys up. I just wanted to share that bit with you about the possibility, the probability that this is actually the first picture ever taken of a black hole.
All right.
They were looking around for something, right?
They said that they had been looking for this object for 50 years, and I would like to know if this is, in fact, a supernova.
Well,
how would you know to look for it?
Yeah, well, there's a subtle message in the thing about the year.
Yeah, there is.
Because it was 50 years ago, it would have been 1959, and then that's maybe when the black hole theory started to kind of percolate. You know, in the theoretical physics department. So maybe that is true that they were looking, but maybe they were looking for the byproduct of a supernova rather than the supernova itself. And I think that this is it. I'm seriously. Wait till you see the picture. So, friends, I'm going to say goodnight, and it's getting late here in New York, but thanks for a great show, and it was worthwhile.
Well, thank you.
You okay?
I look forward to the picture.
Sure.
All right, thanks. Soon. Bye-bye. All right. That was Robert Morningstar.
Wow, yeah, I recognize the voice.
Yeah. All right, we're going to begin to bring this in for a landing here. If you have been thinking that you want to call in, you need to do so. And the number is 1-800-289-1095. 1-800-289, not 1095, 1092. I'm all messed up now. 1-800-289-1092. Give us a call. And we'll take one more call if it comes in quickly. What as we kind of bring this in for a landing now? What do you think we're going to find out about this object in the days and weeks ahead? What do you suspect we're going to know?
I would hope we'd get more clarification than we had, you know, with that conference. But, you know, I still say with NASA, you never know. And I really hope beyond hope that we'd get some kind of, you know, explanation beyond what we got. I just feel like it was just a couple guys up there talking, and they were talking for their own, you know, to hear themselves. That's what I got out of it. I mean, you know, I wasn't that impressed. And you know, it's pretty sad when that happens, because usually, or at the beginning, when NASA had this agency, I was all ears. I wanted to find out what they knew, and you know, I was not impressed with it at all. And I'm not alone in this. I mean, when I do your shows and so forth, I get tons of email. I get phone calls, and you know, it's people telling me, hey, you know, what can we do to bring this thing forward? Well, I can tell you, I'm going to do the best I can to see if we can't get some astronomer or something to take a look at this thing and give us some answers. Because I'm telling you, Kevin, I don't think we're going to get any straight answers.
Well, I think the chances that we will get straight answers are slim to none, because we've started off with what appears to be very, very crooked information, not straight information. So I doubt that it's going to become straight. Let's take a final phone call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Yes, sir. My name is Yaw, and I'm from Hayti, Missouri.
All right, sir. Are you a first-time caller?
Yeah, I'm looking for that applause.
Here it is, man.
Bless you. I wanted to say, first of all, I really appreciate your show and what all you do for us. I've been a listener for, I don't know, about 2 years now.
Well, I'm glad to finally hear you.
Yeah, well, I heard you keep saying, come on, somebody call, and I've been thinking about calling, but I never did, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, and I agree that we might be looking at something, you know, that we've that we might not want to see. But you know, I sort of disagree with you, Kevin.
All right.
When it comes to letting us know if the end is coming or some kind of major catastrophe, I would much rather know that something was going to happen to me than to not know. So.
Well, some of us are cut that way. I mean, with me, it doesn't matter one way or the other. Some people would rather know. Me, I don't care. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But then there are people that really, and a lot of them, that just absolutely go bonkers. Have you ever been in a convenience store service station area when they go out and they change the prices on the gasoline and they hike it by 6 cents?
Yeah, and folks go crazy trying to get there to buy the gas or to leave, or it depends on the...
Yeah, and that's just over gasoline.
Right.
You know, you have, you know, damn near a riot just over the price change on the gasoline. Now, that's not an insignificant thing because it's killing us. It's killing our economy. I know that's not insignificant. However, it's truly not a life and death situation. The price of gasoline is not a planet killer. If they tell us that there's a planet killer coming in, there are a lot of folks out there who are going to say, well, what does it matter if I rob this store? What does it matter if I rob this bank? What does it matter if I kill this guy? We're all going to die anyway. And here we go.
Yeah, but yeah, I can understand that point of view, but I still got to disagree. And I tell you what, dude, I love your show and I love your guests, and I'm thankful that you're on there.
Well, I appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Be sure you call again soon.
Yes, sir. Catch you later.
All right.
Peace.
All right. Thanks. All right. We're going to let that one be our last call. I tell you, Dick, it's been an eventful evening, hasn't it?
It certainly has. May I get my website out before we close out?
You certainly may.
Okay. If anybody wants to know what's going on after this show tonight, they can go up to www.ipusnetwork.com. We're still looking for members for IPUS. We're looking for directorships in most states. And we're moving on. And there's a number that I may be reached at and a email.
All right. All right. Dick, thank you for being so willing to come on the show on a short notice. And I didn't even get a chance to tell people this, but, you know, it was after that show last night that I decided, and I thought about it all day, but then late this afternoon, I thought, you know, I really want to get Dick on here and talk about this and get his perspective on this. And I called him. And he was willing to do so pretty much at the drop of a hat. It was just, an hour or so before showtime?
Yes, I believe that's, maybe even less.
Yeah. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate it. And, folks, you know what I have to say now. Here it is. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.